good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Good evening and welcome to Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess. It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m., and you are tuned in to the most influential show on the airways. Tonight, we are talking about the Colorado shooting that took place during the midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises. We'll be talking about the ways that we could stop this situation from ever happening in the future. We're going to talk about gun control and the limiting of freedoms, violent media and TV, video games, and their impact on people's consciousness, and how to get out safely of a situation like this if it's a possibility, and also looking into the mind of James Holmes, the man and the killer. But before we speak with the members of police, and we've talked to some SWAT team members as well, and a behavioral psychologist, you know what time it is. It's the portion of the show that we dedicate to, you know it, numerology.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Yeah, you guessed it. It's our 11th show. 11. We've heard a lot of things about 11-11. And, you know, they have some deep meaning, 11-11 does, hidden in some ancient texts. But I'll be dedicating an entire show to numerology in the immediate future. But tonight, we have a lot of ground to cover in a short time. Hint, hint, Cumulus, we need a lot more time. So, beginning next Sunday, we have the Busey Minute. Every show will have a healthy, awesome dose of Jake Busey. So get ready for that next Sunday, guys. It's going to be pretty cool. He's going to be talking about everything from groceries to dealing with LA traffic to just plain dealing with having a pregnant girlfriend. So we'll cover all that next Sunday. But tonight's show is jam-packed, so let's jump in head first. I'm sorry, feet first. Scratch that. We have James Bristow, Vice President of the Dallas Fraternal Order of Police, and he's also served 23 years on local law enforcement. We're lucky to have him in the studio. James, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Ashley.
Well, it's great to have you here. And, you know, we're talking about the entire concept of the Colorado shooting and James Holmes. And you and I spoke a few days ago and even this morning and this afternoon about the idea of how to prevent this from happening in the first place. What are your thoughts on that?
Wow. This whole mass shooting deal is still such a new phenomenon. Starting in Columbine, Pearl, Mississippi, Paducah, Kentucky, the school shootings, to be able to say there is one way to prevent this, I don't have the expertise for that, and I don't think you could find anybody that does. But I think that people, one of the things that would help, and it's going to be tough, is people have got to get nosy, they got to be busybodies, especially in their own families. Just looking for the way behaviors change, looking at things that people are happy with one day and then the next day they're not. And that all of these are just red flags. One of them doesn't mean anything. But when you start putting a whole pattern of behavior together and you start seeing things, people need to be involved in people's lives to make a change.
You know, there was a report done, I guess, right about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning after the event, and they were talking about how he had actually created an adult friend finder account, and on that friend finder account, he had the whole idea of you have to come visit me in prison, And I don't know. I mean, it's not a Facebook account, so I don't really know how up-to-date people are on that. But things, let's say that that was on Facebook. I mean, how should you react to that as a person that sees that on Facebook, perhaps?
Man, Facebook is a whole other animal altogether. I know that in police work, even now, the people's Facebook accounts are very highly scrutinized with what I would put on there as an officer. Everybody has access to it. Even people that aren't my friends, but are friends of my friends, would have access to what I put down. If something looks weird, if something is out of the norm, if people are giving you hints, be involved. Say something, do something, ask, are you serious? Because we all know people say things all the time that they don't really mean, or they're angry at the time and lashing out. And how many times have you seen somebody post something on Facebook that is absolutely ridiculous? And you know they didn't mean it, but it was just venting.
Yeah.
And most of the time, that's probably what it's going to be. But if it's outside of somebody's norm and outside of their normal character, then yeah, that would be a red flag. There have been people talking about killing themselves on Facebook, and nobody cared enough to even ask until after it happened. And they're going, wow, we never knew. If we had known, we would have done something about it. Well, it's right there. It's spelled out. It's all in black and white. You did know, but you didn't get involved.
There was a cry for help, and people ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people ignore it by chance?
They don't want to be nosy. They don't want to be... I think we're uncomfortable getting heavy into people's lives. You don't want to be that nosy person, and we're uncomfortable becoming involved. We're so involved in our own lives, it's tough enough to be involved in somebody else's.
When did taking interest, though, in other people's lives become defined as nosy?
I have no idea. You know, people say just because of my job that I've got to be an expert on whatever. But it's like I was telling you before we started, I know just enough to really back myself into a corner on most topics. And I don't know. If somebody has the answer, let me know and we'll make millions of dollars together.
Well, I think there are, like you said, there are hints, there are mannerisms, there are red flags that go up. Could you tell our listeners maybe, perhaps when you see somebody in person, maybe the red flags of whatever they might be doing or saying that maybe we should maybe put some thought into it?
I know as an officer, we are very, I'm bilingual. I speak body language is my second language.
I like that.
Because 90% of what people say is not verbal. It's the way they act. It's, for me, it's the clenching of the fist, the tightening of the jaw, where the hands are, the whole attitude of which way are they facing. Are they about to run? I can usually tell them. And at my age, I really want all the advantage I can get. If somebody's about to run, I want to be able to get the first step. But
I understand.
Especially with people that people know, with loved ones that you know the best. I know what they're like. My kids, my wife, your husband, you know, your boyfriends, girlfriends. When you start to see things that change, when you start to see things that are outside of their norm, I'm not saying you need to get involved in everybody's life around you, but if you would just affect at least one other around you, you know, especially those you love, shouldn't you care enough to be nosy in theirs? I know my wife is in mine. I am in hers. We are in our kids. We monitor their Facebook. We have access to their passwords. We are involved in their lives, and they're not offended by that. They know that I'm involved in their lives because I love them more than anything. And there's nothing that my wife and I wouldn't do for our kids and nothing that I wouldn't do for her. But when you start to see the changes, become involved and find out what the problem is.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. And, you know, if you flip the coin even, we've been talking about, you know, really being proactive and being nosy, that's a really good thing. And I think that you and all also agree on another statement, and that is about gun control. Ever since people have been coming up with violence and these acts take place, and we talked about this earlier, it seems that everybody's jumping on the bandwagon for specific gun control. Can you explain about that?
That's the first knee jerk to everything that happens that involves a gun. It's very, very easy to blame the inanimate object. But I can tell you for a fact, that gun could have sat there fully loaded and cocked left on a sidewalk for the next million years, and it will never hurt anybody until somebody comes and picks that thing up. There's an old maxim from it's called Letters to some Greek thing. I can't even pronounce it. But it was, a sword has never killed anyone. It's simply a tool in the hands of the assassin. And it's very easy to blame the inanimate object. And I wonder sometimes if it's because we're afraid to face who we really are and the absolute depths that a person can go. In my job, I mean, I've gone home with gray matter in my boots. Mm-hmm. I've gone home with blood on my uniform that wasn't mine. We've held dying children. We've tried to comfort people who have lost a loved one. And at the same time, being scared to death ourselves because we don't know if the bad guy is still out there. But we've got to maintain that calm head. But I'm not worried about the gun. I'm worried about the shooter. And that's what I've always been worried about.
Well, I agree, because I think that it's the wrong angle. I think that people are arguing the idea of gun control. And I think that it doesn't matter. Somebody's a bad person, and I define bad as somebody that has evil intent. They're going to be able to get a gun no matter how they do it. They get it on the street. They're going to get it illegally. They don't have to get it through legal ways at all. And the point is that I think when you begin to limit guns and the ability to have them, you also limit not only our democracy and our constitutional rights, but you also subject innocent people that could help in the situation. Let's say that if there was somebody that had a concealed handgun license and was able to have that gun in the theater that night, could it have changed something? I think it could have.
It could have. And several of us have sat around and talked about it. After every event like this, you'll find a bunch of cops sitting in a room somewhere talking about, man, it would have been totally different if I had been there.
Right.
But if I had had seven other police officers in there, all of them armed, and none of them knowing that the others are in there, and you had the one bad guy come in from the back, he starts shooting, we shoot at the muzzle flashes from the bad guy, and all of a sudden go, man, there's six other muzzle flashes around me. Are they good guys or bad guys? Could it have prevented further killing? Oh, yeah, definitely. Could have it added to it? Yeah, definitely. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a total and complete proponent of concealed carry. You know, I believe that you look at a place like Chicago that has very, very strict gun laws, and you look at a place like Arizona, where you can carry it on your hip, and then you compare who's shooting each other more, it's the people in Chicago. It's not the people in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that myself. I've seen the statistics.
I'm all for responsible people who want to take care of themselves and protect their family, and protect their loved one, and protect their property. It only makes sense that I should be able to take care of what's mine, because there's not going to be a cop around all the time.
I agree. Let's take it a step further. Let's say that the situation was about to happen and you or somebody else was in the theater with a concealed handgun. What would have been the situation that a person needed to take, or what you would prescribe to somebody if they were in that situation with a concealed handgun license and a concealed handgun?
Wow. I'm second guessing everything, of course. But for me, and I'm not speaking for,
speaking for you.
I'm not speaking for FOP or for my department or anything, but for me, if I were in there, I have been trained. Now, does a concealed handgun person have the trigger time I do? Not most of them. There's some of them that totally blow me away, though. You address your threat and you get out. You shoot to make him stop doing whatever it is that's making him making you shoot at him in the first place. Make him duck. Make him move. And leave the area. Not many of us are born warriors. Not many of, and that's fine. That's fine. David Grossman, a guy who I've read a lot, defines people in two categories, the sheep and the sheepdogs. And 95% of us are sheep. We don't want to hurt each other. But the human animal is one of the only animals that will turn on its own. Deer during ruck, they'll hit each other, but they don't turn their antlers on the sides. A piranha, they'll slap at each other with their tails, but they won't turn their teeth on each other. A rattlesnake won't bite another rattlesnake, or a lawyer. You don't turn on your own, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're the only animal that does it, and when an animal goes bad, you've got to put it down. And that's kind of what he teaches. And for a concealed carry person, he's got to understand, am I really a sheepdog? Do I have it in my heart to do what I have to do? But could it have made a difference in that situation? Yeah, it very much could have. Could it have also been an added tragedy if people didn't know what they're doing? Yeah, it could have.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman, because his book, Stop Teaching Our Kids to Kill, A Call to Action Against TV, Movie, and Video Game Violence.
Good segue, huh?
Perfect segue. That was great. You know, it's like almost irrefutable evidence to the fact that violent video games and images teach the very mechanics of killing. I was on the phone with a SWAT team member that can't be identified that was telling me about how, for example, a lot of people don't want to say anything about video games and that kind of sort of thing, teaching people how to do things. But the Air Force are getting new, incredible people that are coming into the Air Force Academy every year because of the flight simulator videos that they have. So video games have to be teaching people something. I mean, what are your thoughts on violent imaging and violent killing video games in a situation like this?
It has been proven that it affects some people. The vast, vast minority of people, it will be affected negatively. One of the people that Grossman talks about in that book is Michael Cornell, who was the shooter in Paducah, Kentucky. And I heard him lecture about that. And one of the things that he had never shot a handgun before. He stole a handgun from a friend's house, ran 20 rounds or so through it just to familiarize himself with the mechanics of it, and then went to the school and started shooting. He shot 8 people. Of that 8, 5 of them were headshots. The rest were all upper torso. And where on a video game do you get extra points for headshots? And the people who were witnesses there said that he took a stand, and the place that he had shot before was on a video game. And his sister was one of the witnesses who mm-hmm. saw him standing there and said he had that same glazed over look in his eye that he had when he was doing the video games. And you cannot find a SWAT operator or anybody that is that good to make those kind of shots under pressure. And that kid did it.
I've got a strange question, actually, James. Do you guys ever like do any kind of, any training like that? Like, you know, either like kind of like video or kind of like in you guys training?
We have what's called simunitions, which would be a regular gun. Like, for instance, at work, I carry a Glock.
Right.
They would take a Glock frame. It shoots, and they put a different barrel in there.
Okay.
And it actually shoots a 7mm paintball, if you will.
Oh, wow.
And it cycles my weapon just like it would regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mess up, the pain that you feel from the other guy shooting you is a very quick reinforcement letting you know that I messed up. And yeah, we train, we don't use, I know at the academy there are some things like that. There are some simulators that they'll run a lot of the rookies through as well.
Cool. I was just curious.
You know, that was a good question. You know, in my book, Live Your True Life, I talked about how some people believe that negativity on TV doesn't affect them and that they are mentally strong enough to escape it. And it's a good thought, but it's really not true. Everybody is really affected by what we see and hear. It's all taken into your subconscious. It doesn't matter how brilliant you are. And I understand that some people posted it on Facebook and everything, even their IQ. And I understand that you have a high IQ. And I'm not trying to put you down in any way. I believe that you're a very intelligent person. But the concept is that you might not think that this at all is affecting you. And maybe it's not affecting you in the conscious level. But with somebody that is on borderline psychotic or borderline in this situation, things of this violent nature can affect them and do affect them. And so I'm not saying that video games of negative content and killing are the ultimate to blame. I'm not sitting there blaming the video games. I'm not blaming the video market.
Right.
But the killer is to blame. The promoters of the violent content must step up to the whole point that they do have some blame as well. I mean, it's not about you can just put out any propaganda and just allow it to be. I mean, just like the people that sell the 100 round clip on the internet, or they sell, what is it, tear gas mm-hmm. to normal people. You can just buy it on, I can't remember the website name, but you could buy it as just a regular person. I mean, I don't know if that's really the right thing to do. I don't agree with gun control, but I don't agree with buying a 100-round clip. I mean, that's kind of insane.
Well, I hope not, because I have a 100-round clip. but all of my rounds in my entire history of law enforcement and of being a young man growing up around guns, I have killed many thousands of cans. And it's fun with a 100-round clip to pull that trigger as quick as I can. And that you will find for the vast majority of people. I mean, this was a tragic deal that happened the other day. However, there were hundreds of millions of gun owners that didn't shoot anybody yesterday or during that show. There were millions of us that didn't pull a trigger. There were millions of us that had our guns at home in their safes, away from our children. And even if your children did have access to them, like my son does, he knows what he's doing with it. And I trust my son and my daughter, both of them in their late teens, and my wife, to defend my castle when I'm not there. And that's because they've gone out and they've shot. And their father has taken time to make them responsible with that weapon. And my son knows you do not point anything at something you are not willing to destroy, because he's seen what they can do. So I have no trouble with the magazines, because I tell you what, with a 20-round mag, I can drop it, and as when I'm out, I can drop it and I can throw the next one in, I can drop it and throw the next one in, and I can put up 100 just a little bit slower than you could with the 100-round mag just going. So the danger is there in the hands of somebody that knows what they're doing. The danger is there.
No, I agree with that. And I think that when you do put limits on things for people that would normally not use it in some sort of violent way, it is kind of insane. You know, as a child, though, my mom would always have me spot out exits everywhere we went. You know, my mom was crazy about that. You know mm-hmm. how moms are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 2 weeks ago, my family and I went over to the movies at North Park Mall. Mm-hmm. And Dallas, and I rarely go to the movies, never have time, but I remember taking my, like, thinking and looking and talking with my family about the exits, and I looked around, and I was like, there's only two, and they're all on the bottom, there's none on the top, and I remember telling my husband, I'm like, you know, if there was something wrong, if there was a fire, if there was a perpetrator, if there was somebody in the middle, you would have to actually walk by them or walk through the fire.
True.
He thought I was crazy. I mean, I would think I was crazy too. And this was 2 weeks ago. I was like, you know, where are the access doors? There's no above. There's no staircase to go down. So you're stuck. And so you'd have to go through that middle part or toward the front. And I think that was kind of interesting in the recent reports about what we know about the situation. And when we come back, I think we really want to talk about, you know, how to be really aware and how to deal with the situation, you know, when...
Sure.
When we're in the situation, I think we can all get scared, and we can always say, oh my gosh, you know, even if there is gun control, there isn't gun control, there will still be these issues. These people will still psychologically be, I hate to say it, off their rocker, you know, no pun intended, and it creates these scenarios. So there's always a situation that could happen, but it's the way of getting out of that situation. When we come back from break, we're going to be talking to Dr. George Holder, the professor of psychology at SMU, and then... If you have to wait till the last break, and we're going to be talking again about the idea of how to deal with a situation, and James Bristow is going to tell us exactly how you can get yourself out of a situation like this safely, and also how to actually understand where you are in your situation so that it doesn't happen to you. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after the break.